Professors might often be misrepresented in the media, so I'm going to let one speak for himself now. Craig Crydell is a very good friend of orphans and all other good things on campus. He kind of founded and is now re-kickstarting after some absence on other projects, the Museum of Education here at USC. He's also doing, though he's too modest to talk about it today, some pioneering research, I think, in the history of educational films. But he's bringing us two little treats that he's been involved with in the past. They're both related to John Dewey, and he comes to us as a member of the John Dewey Society, and he's going to explain to us the difference between Thomas Dewey, John Dewey, Admiral Dewey, and Melville Dewey. Thank you very much. Not really.
To discuss American education in the 20th century is ultimately and inevitably to examine the work of John Dewey, a philosopher, one of the founders of American pragmatism, as it turns out, the opening act for the Roe Rivas screening. John Dewey, whose dates are 1859 to 1952, was professor at University of Chicago and Columbia University. He founded an elementary school that evolved into the University of Chicago Laboratory School and ushered in the progressive education movement in America. Join me this morning as we laugh with John Dewey as he displays oh so painfully his discomfort as well as his good-naturedness at being filmed. Be assured, though it may not be apparent from these clips, you are seeing one of the most important American intellectuals of the 20th century. And even though our public school system and educational system is quite dreadful, made even worse by the No Child Left Behind Act, it's because we didn't listen to John Dewey. In 1929, the time of this Movietone news clip, Dewey was at the height of his popularity. Just 1 month before, at his 70th birthday banquet, 2,500 people were in attendance, and the numbers would have swelled to 10,000 if it had not been limited. His book, Public and Its Problems, had been released to great acclaim, and in this footage, Dewey takes on the role of public spokesperson, acknowledging that education need not occur in college, some consolation to the 83% of college-age youth who had ended their formal studies. Martin Dworkin stated that John Dewey is a figure of partisan fiction. Extreme disavowals of his importance are countered by passionate assertions of his greatness. And this was certainly the case for the shy, introverted man who was the center of so many public controversies, free speech, socialist debates, political debates, Trotsky trials, etc. The image of Dewey elicited hope as well as, in some circles, fear. And to the FBI, their view was, and I quote, he was doing more for the Soviet cause than all the avowed communists in the country. Quoting from their file, build tall and thin, eyes black, demeanor, carelessly combed gray hair, disheveled attire, retiring mild-mannered, speech, monotonous drawl. And with that, let's look at this first clip, Dewey on Education from November 23rd, 1929. This is in the process of being restored, and it comes, compliments of Greg and the USC News Film Library. You have the opportunity to hear and see Dewey speak for 90 seconds, and then we get to do it again.
Here, not going to college. Every young person has the opportunity to go and has the character and intelligence to take advantage of it. It's a good thing. But going to college is not the same as getting an education, though the two are often confused. A boy or a girl can go to college and get a degree, not money. much else. On the other hand, a boy or girl in a factory, shop, or store can get an education without a degree if they have the ambition. They have to work hard, they have to want to learn, to be observing, keep their ears and eyes open, talk to those who are wiser themselves than themselves, and set aside some time every day for reading. They have to struggle harder than those that go to college. But the struggle, if they make the effort, will give them power. They get their education from contact with the realities of life, and not just from books. I am not here to knock getting an education by going to college. If a person has the opportunity and the character and intelligence to take advantage of it, it's a good thing. But going to college is not the same thing as getting an education, though the two are often confused. A boy or a girl can go to college and get a degree and not much else. On the other hand, a boy or a girl in a shop, factory, or store can get an education without a degree if they make up their mind to it. They have to want to learn. They have to be willing to talk to those who are wiser than themselves, to be observing, to keep their ears and eyes open, and to set apart some time every day to read. They have to struggle harder than those who go to college. But if they are willing to make the effort, the struggle gives them power. They get their education from contact with the realities of life, and not just from books.
Well, apart from the fact that Dewey... Oh. Apart from the fact that Dewey was short, and I don't know what black eyes mean, I think they may have captured an essence with the monotonous drawl, perhaps one of the few things the FBI got right. Nonetheless, to contemporary educators and philosophers, this is really, really important stuff. We get to see Dewey speak. And my thanks to the Summit Film Lab for restoring this print. And this is a print that's going to be very significant for the many Dewey aficionados throughout the country and the world. Similarly, seeing Dewey at play has been important. And I would like to turn to the next film segment. This was produced by the Museum of Education. The Dewey Home movies are actually a longer collage dating back to 1925. There's footage you won't see of Dewey making a snow person and playing with a cat and a chipmunk. But we will be seeing 1939 footage of Dewey on vacation at Miami Beach. This production has inspired for my junior colleagues two articles and one book, and perhaps it's seeing Dewey swim that gets the creative juices flowing. His biographers have noted the time between 1927 and 1940 was a wonderful period where he was most himself, following the death of his first wife, Alice, and the emotional aftermath of a torrid love affair with a Polish countess. He basked anew in the attention and affection of women. Still the center of controversy, we see him here on holiday in Miami Beach. In this clip, he's nearing 80, and he's accompanied by Roberta, who just a few years before, during their love frenzy, he writes to this 32-year-old woman saying, "Oh, to be 70 again." This footage you will see is taken just before she marries, by proxy, another man, a young engineer, who then dies 16 months later. 7 years after this footage, she marries Dewey. He's 87. And he lives for another 6 years, during which time the possessive, jealous Roberta completely destroys his relationships with family and friends. But here in 1939, there are lovely clips of the happy and very bashful Dewey. And can we roll the segment and a portion of this film with a soundtrack by Dennis James, who is with us today?
That which is universal will be finally decided by what we do, what we are capable of appreciating and enjoying in those things of which the finite are outstanding examples.
An acknowledgement to Dennis James. Idyllic indeed, but as Harold Taylor, former president of Sarah Lawrence, said of Roberta, what a bitch. 10 years after this clip, the FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, after noting a letter of greeting from then President Truman to Dewey, calling him one of the greatest Americans, Hoover writes, "It seems wise to cease investigating him as a subversive." They continued investigating him, though, but I guess just not as a subversive. Anyhow, that is your dose of John Dewey on this Orphans Education Day. And I would like to end, I'd like, as a member here at University of South Carolina, I wish to thank Dan Strebel for so enriching the intellectual community here, to be with adventurous company. And Dan, we will miss you very much, and we look forward to being part of your community in the making as you move on to New York University. So thank you.